So here we are again, Mr. Parry. It's that time of the week for another On The Record special. This is, of course, the bi-weekly, very successful podcast that's put out by our friends at Audio Boom.
That's right.
We do Ask Porky on it. We do also Porky Vision.
Yes.
We occasionally do the Porky Review of Books as well.
Yeah, we do.
And there'll be one of those coming up later on.
There will be.
In October.
Got a very good book about one of King Henry's major men called Cromwell, but not Oliver Cromwell.
No,
you know, Thomas Cromwell.
Thomas Cromwell.
And Thomas More were two of his you know, assistants who warred against each other.
Yes.
That'll be in the next Porky book review.
Okay, well, there's a bit of history to be done. What are we going to do today?
What we're going to do today is, now, do you know who Maurizio Zanfantini is?
Zanfantini? No, but he sounds like the sort of guy that would own a circus.
Right, he's 63 years of age, right? Yeah. And he's died. Now, he might have died from perpetual shagging.
Really?
He was known as Europe's biggest shagger.
Was he?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I thought that was tacky.
No, 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 no. This guy ran a nightclub in Rimini.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, which is in Italy.
Yes.
His name is Maurizio Zanfantini.
I think I might have been to Rimini.
Yeah, and I'll show you a picture of him. Oh. And he's there with two ladies. Okay, this is from his obituary.
Oh, wow.
He's now died.
Is that a very 70s kind of look, isn't it?
Yeah, this 70s kind of look. Yeah. And he his claim to fame is that he shagged about 200 female tourists every summer.
Every summer?
Yeah. Yeah. They used to go to Rimini, okay? Uh-huh. And they worked it out during the holiday season. He had to be shagging 2.2 women a day.
I was going to say, call the summer 3 months.
Yes, that's right,
You know, to get through 200 women
days,
in 3 months. That's a lot of women.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm. Anyway, the 63-year-old nightclub manager was known as Zanza. Slept with 200 female tourists every summer.
Yeah.
He had a thing for Scandinavian women.
Did he?
So the thing was, Scandinavian would come, but then they'd go back to Scandinavia. Mm. So it's an amazing shagging machine called Zanza. You know,
so he'd actually get recommendations.
He would get recommendations for a bit of the old, you know, horizontal refreshment.
Now,
or
where was
the
he,
rumpy pumpy, as we like to call it. You
where was he sort of stationed? Did he have a job that enabled him to meet loads of these
women? Well, I told you, he ran a nightclub in Rimini.
Yeah.
He was a nightclub owner in Rimini.
Yeah, but what did he do during the day, though?
Well, recovered from the night before. Well, I mean, you know, you can shag till 6 in the morning, can't you?
Well, you can shag all day if you
then
like.
Then sleep till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then get your club together and then start all over again.
But he wasn't sort of hanging around the town, is what I'm thinking.
No.
He was picking them up in the nightclub.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They came to his nightclub because they wanted, you know, a lot of, you know, horizontal refreshment.
Yeah.
That's, you know. So I suppose all these single women must have come, because if not, and women came with their partners, he'd have got beaten up a lot, wouldn't he?
Well, he might have done. But, I mean, guys like him, you don't really care if you've got a partner or not.
No, that's right. Yeah, no,
I mean,
I totally
you never used to care, did you?
No, well, you know, at least I didn't see the partner. It wasn't like there was partner standing next to the woman.
No, that's true.
She was normally at work and the partner wasn't
there.
Well,
yeah, but somebody go on holiday with their friends, but they leave the partner at home.
Yeah, well, it could be. Yeah, it could be like, you know, a girl's holiday or something like that. Yeah,
hen weekend or something.
Anyway, Italian newspapers said he died of a heart attack.
I'm surprised.
And the heart attack came during a late night amorous encounter.
Oh, dear.
In the back of a car with a Romanian woman in her
20s. Really?
Yeah. So as he got older, his conquest apparently got younger, okay?
To be honest, that's not very stylish, is it? It's not a very good way to go, though. I mean, if you're going to go in the act of shagging, surely you'd rather be in a sort of luxury hotel.
I totally agree.
Or maybe like by the side of a swimming pool. In the back of a car,
it's
a bit seedy, isn't
it? Totally agree. I once went to America with a female colleague.
Did you?
Yes.
What was her name?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
But
Do I know her?
You will probably know her. Okay. Well, we stayed in Essex House Hotel.
Did you?
And I thought it would be a fitting end for me to be found dead in the morning of a heart attack whilst romancing this lady, you know, in the Essex House Hotel.
But it would be a pretty horrible way for her to have to remember you.
Well, it would, yeah. But, I mean, at least I would be a problem out of her life.
Are you
know what
saying
I mean?
That you didn't actually get your leg over? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, no, I did. I did.
You did?
Yeah, it was the whole idea.
Well, why did you want to die then?
Well, I didn't want to die, but I thought, you know, when you read...
You mean it would be good for your reputation?
Yeah, you read Fleet Street obituaries about the extraordinary things that we used to get up to, that might have been a fitting end. But I was only in my 40s at the time, so I didn't want to die, you know.
No, right.
Anyway, one Italian newspaper, the Il Resto del Carlino, is an Italian newspaper. Well, the Italian newspaper I used to do was called La Stampa, which is based in Turin.
There's also Corriere della Sella.
Yeah, there is Corriere
della Sella. In fact, I think I might have had something published in there.
Well, the stamper I used to deal with, because that was all about Hazel, you see, because it was Juventus from Turin. Right.
Well, and also, what was the name of the... there's a sports paper there, isn't there? La Gazzetta.
Yeah, La Gazzetta. There's two sports papers.
Gazzetta del Sport, isn't
Gazzetta del Sport, and their correspondent in this country, who was permanently here.
Yeah.
There were so many English stories when the Premier League opened up and all the Italian players like Gianfranco Zola came here.
Yes.
He was a great mate of mine. I can't remember his name now.
Okay.
But, I mean, I used to drink with him all the time in Fleet Street. He was a really good,
good guy.
Really good guy. Giancarlo. His name was Giancarlo.
Giancarlo. I love the Italians.
But not
I once went out with a girl from Italy.
Oh, yeah?
She was from Padua.
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 Padua. Yeah.
Which is in sort of northeast Italy.
Yeah.
Had earthquakes there, in fact.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Not good.
But she was, I thought she was amazing because she was 23.
Right.
And I was only 18.
Oh, she beautiful, was she?
She was gorgeous.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely gorgeous.
And did you...
Very flat-chested, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're not proof of that.
Well, it's not like
that's not
really
nice, is it? Just, you know, there might be some flat-chested women listening. I mean,
it's not about that.
I appreciate women for their minds as well as their bodies, you
but
know.
But all I'm saying is, is it would have been better if she'd been a bit more voluptuous.
Really?
She was very slim.
Yeah, really?
She was nice, though.
Yeah, that's not a very nice thing to say.
Daniela, her name was.
Daniela.
Yeah.
Daniela, yeah.
Great name.
Great name.
Yeah.
Anyway, Il Resto del Collino, a Bologna newspaper, reported.
Yeah.
The mayor of first of all, the first line was, Zanza died doing what he does best.
Yes.
I.e. shagging.
Well,
okay?
He wasn't doing it very well that
night. He wasn't doing it very nice night.
Yeah.
The mayor of Rimini, a resort on the Adriatic Riviera, said Italy had lost a legend of the night. And like all
only
sorts
in
of,
Italy would they say that,
right? Yeah, that's right, a legend of the night.
Yeah.
And all these local politicians, you know, were sending in tributes and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
The tributes harked back to a politically incorrect era when Don Aioli...
who's that?
Well, Don Aioli, Donna Aioli,
Aioli,
Donna Aioli, is an Italian expression for big shagger.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought Aioli was a word that meant oil.
No, no.
Like, as in, you know, olive oil.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Donna Aioli, or womanizer, were really top members of society. You know,
Danny, wasn't there an actor called Danny Aiola?
Was there?
I think so.
I don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, Zanza, as he became known, this is Maurizio Zanfantini, was known for his long blonde hair, his gold necklaces, and his leather jackets.
Right.
Okay?
And his hairy chest, presumably, as well.
His hairy chest, that's right, Medallion man.
That's what he has. He has that kind of look about
him. He does have that look about
him. Sort of guy that would wear a white jacket with his sleeves rolled up.
No, that's right. Zanfantini first deployed his charms in 1972. At the age of 17, while working at a nightclub in Rimini called Blow Up.
Blow Up, after the movie.
Yeah,
do you remember the movie?
Yeah, maybe.
David Hemmings.
Yeah.
It was a really good movie, actually, from the 60s.
I remember that,
It was called Blow Up.
It's where David Hemmings, the photographer, took a picture, and when they blew it up, they found, like, a killer
there
in the background.
There was a murder being carried out, or something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right,
incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it says his fame as the Italian Romeo grew as the town of Rimini prospered in the 1980s, attracting German and Scandinavian tourists to its beaches and discos.
Right.
As his reputation spread, he was profiled by magazines right across northern Europe and became known for his... You know, his love of women and the amount of women he was having sex with.
I wonder if he had any sort of famous women. It doesn't say that, does it?
It doesn't say that at all.
Because I thought you were going to say, famously, he romanced and then gave a string of names of people we'd heard of.
Yes, that's right.
But these are just tourists.
He claimed, magazines in Europe, on more than one occasion, he seduced the female journalists sent from all over Europe to interview him.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a bit like...
Anthea Disney.
Anthea Disney.
Yes.
Who went to interview...
She went to interview George Best.
That's right, yeah.
And ended up staying with him for
that's
3
right,
days.
For 3 days,
And I don't think she would mind anybody telling that
story. No, that's right,
she became a very big wig over in American publishing.
She did, yeah.
She ended up running HarperCollins,
I think, in America. Yeah. That's right. Well, Mr. Rupert Murdoch's firm.
Yeah, indeed.
That's absolutely right,
Yes. She's not the only one. I mean, I know other journalists who've done similar things.
Yeah, so do I. Mm. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. In fact, one who, you know, is still working today, to this very day.
Oh, yeah?
Famous, yeah. But anyway.
That's another story.
Yeah. So, he said, my seduction technique is based on nothing but kindness.
Really?
Kindness.
Kindness.
Yeah, so, you know...
Well, women like a bit of kindness.
Yeah, I agree.
Some women like to be treated slightly less kindly.
Yes.
But, I mean, kindness always goes a long way.
Yes, that's right.
Have to be said.
Now, his career as Mega Shagger was interrupted in 1988 because of the fear of AIDS.
Oh, really?
And so what he did then was he had to insist that any woman who he was romancing had to produce a card showing they were HIV-free.
Okay.
They had to actually have a blood test in Rimini itself.
Okay.
Not arrive from, you know, Scandinavia saying I'm HIV-free. Before he would deign to sleep with them. He said the certificate must be signed and countersigned by a doctor and presented to me before any physical interaction could take place.
Well, that doesn't sound very romantic, does it?
Eh?
That doesn't sound very romantic.
Well, I don't think there's any romance in this, Mike. I think it's a sheer physical lust, isn't
it? No, of course there's romance in it. The point is that every woman wants to be romanced, right?
Yeah.
Every woman wants to be treated like a princess, right?
Yes.
So presumably that was his success.
Yes.
So he was very kind to people.
Okay.
He was very good to women.
Yeah.
And that's what women like. I mean, you can't be horrible to women and be successful with them, can you?
Well, I'm never horrible to women anyway.
No, I know.
I've had my successes, but I don't talk about them.
I know. You prefer not to mention
them. That's right.
Now, I don't understand why they didn't call him the Italian Stallion, this guy.
Well, I suppose everybody else is called the Italian Stallion. Wasn't Sylvester Stallone
only
called
Sylvester
the Italian Stallion?
Been called that.
That's right, yeah.
He's very short.
Yeah, he is very short, yeah, yeah. But he's also an Evertonian, so don't you speak ill of him,
he's
okay?
He's not an Evertonian.
He is an Evertonian.
What a load of bollocks.
He turned up on the pitch at Everton holding an Everton scarf.
He was filming a fucking movie there.
No, he wasn't filming a movie.
He was filming Creed.
He was the mate of the guy who owned.
He was filming Creed.
He was filming Creed, you're right,
Tony
but he was also a mate of.
Tony Bellew.
Mate of Tony Bellew, the boxer, but also...
Well, because Bellew was in the film.
Yeah, exactly, I know that.
He's not a bloody Everton fan.
He is. Are you also a mate of the man who ran...
He's a mate of that guy who was involved with Everton, who started up...
American Burger Chain, what's it called?
But the other one.
Hard Rock?
No, it wasn't Hard Rock.
You sure it wasn't Hard Rock?
It wasn't Hard Rock.
American Burger or something like that.
No, it was the other one. Because I went to the opening of the one in New York, and it was Stallone, Bruce Willis...
That's right.
And who else was it?
And this guy who...
Robert Earl.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, but anyway, Mr. Zanvantini announced his retirement from serial shagging, except it was announced as serial seduction, okay?
You see, that's what I mean, seduction.
Yeah, serial seduction, in 2016, because he said he'd had enough. So that would mean he was about 61.
Well, I'm probably not surprised. He said
he had kept a log of those women with whom he had associated.
Kept his log.
His conquest, and had counted 6,000 women.
Wow.
He said a good number of them were Nordic, and he said that he had a shagging season, when he would, like, sleep with 200 women across the summer.
So what did he do in the winter?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I'm sure that there are still tourists that go to Italy in the winter, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he said that when he announced his retirement, so many women were so upset, thousands of them, then flew to Rimini saying, you know, just one more time, please, Zanza, before you retire.
This is not written by the Italian equivalent of Mike Perry.
No.
It sounds like
maybe he had an extra large size member or something that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, that may well be true,
but surely they would have mentioned that in the obituary.
Well, of course,
Was he wealthy? I mean, did he have a lot of money?
Well, he owned this nightclub, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, you could own a nightclub without being wealthy.
Well, I suppose you could, yeah. Anyway, he 2 years ago, he was guest of honour when he announced his retirement at a Rimini nightclub when a group of 20. Swedish women who had previously associated with him were suddenly presented to him, and he felt that, as you know, it was only a decent thing to do. He had to stay for 3 days and
shag all of them
and sort all that out.
That's an unbelievable story.
Have
I never heard of this guy before?
I don't know.
It sounds remarkable, this.
Anyway, it goes on to conclude. Mr. Zanvantini said, I only did it for my city.
Really?
I didn't get any enjoyment out of it. It was promotion for the Riviera, the Italian Riviera.
Right.
Okay?
What a load of cobblers.
And I was a patron of over 100 travel agencies and helped them to establish their business.
And presumably he never married, right?
Otherwise, well, I don't know.
We would see that he had children, and I'm surprised he never had any children.
I don't know.
Doing that much shame.
I have no idea.
But what an amazing story.
An amazing story.
Very well unearthed,
absolutely.
I have to say.
Absolutely,
See, this is the kind of stuff you don't hear anywhere else.
No, you don't hear anywhere
else. You don't hear that sort of news.
No.
In any other part of the broadcasting arena.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
We're the two mics, more coming up.
Yeah.
You were talking about Italy there.
Yeah.
And all of the sort of tourist attractions that people can have.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me as though... a guy like that nowadays, can you imagine? A guy like that nowadays would be absolutely the worst advert for any place that you could imagine.
Well,
because
I mean,
basically, you'd be saying to people, well, if you're a woman, you come to this part of the world, and there's a pretty good chance this bloke will shag you.
That's right, yeah.
You know, now that by a lot of women would not be seen as an attraction.
Well, I mean, you know, this is a family show, so we don't really want to get into that.
That's true. Thank goodness for that.
I tell you, talking about women and family show and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you a big fan of Nigella Lawson?
I love Nigella Lawson.
Right, why do you love her?
I just think she's a really cool woman.
Right.
You know, I never used to.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when I sort of decided I liked her.
Yeah.
I always quite like the way that she does her cooking shows.
Yes.
Right, because she's very sort of double entendre filled. And she likes the idea of sort of, you know, putting cream into things. And, and she's quite naughty, the way she describes it.
Yes, that's right.
She's a very good-looking woman, I think.
Oh, excellently good-looking.
She put a lot of weight. Funny enough, she tweeted out, I follow her on Twitter.
Yeah.
And she tweeted out, just over the weekend, I think,
yeah,
a picture of her and John Diamond,
right,
who was her husband at the time.
I knew John. I knew John.
I think I might have known him a bit as well.
He was a great guy, John Diamond. He was just a sort of working journalist.
He worked for the Times, didn't he?
Worked for the Times, wrote a column in it and all that kind of stuff. Died of cancer of the esophagus,
yes,
I think. And
supposedly gave her sort of permission,
that's right,
if you like,
to find somebody else while he was ill.
Find somebody else when he became very ill.
That's right.
But there was a lovely picture of her and him.
Yes.
And it looked like they were sort of dancing. And she just said, I think that it was the anniversary of his death.
Yeah.
And she said, I only wish he could be in my arms again now.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And so she was obviously very much in love with him.
Well, she shacked up with, what's his name?
She shacked up with Saatchi, didn't
that's
she?
That's right, yeah.
Charles
Saatchi.
Charles Saatchi, who turned out to be a right wanker.
Well, I'm not sure he did. I mean, but the marriage ended when a picture was taken at, what's that restaurant, Simpsons on the Strand?
No, it was White's, wasn't it?
No, I think it was Simpsons. Simpsons in the Strand.
No, I don't think it was. They were sitting outside.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Simpsons.
But it was a picture of him showing, purportedly, with his hand around her neck.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt that he was holding her by the throat.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But he then... Well,
I'm sure it was Simpsons in the Strand.
Well, you may be right, but I don't think
it was. Because I think Sir Rod, our old pal, went there recently with Penny.
Really?
In a white suit, in a white Rolls Royce, funnily enough, and there were lovely pictures of them sitting outside as well.
I don't think
And
there
I'm
is
sure
an
they mentioned this was the, you know, the tourist restaurant where it took place.
Well, you may be right.
Yeah.
All I know is that my recollection of Simpsons in the Strand is not that they've got an outside area, but that's another story. But what I thought was disgraceful about what he then did was not so much that he was caught doing that, but that he tried to completely kind of assassinate her character in a court case, didn't he?
That's right.
Very shortly thereafter.
That's right, yeah,
which
absolutely.
Which was all about, was it their divorce? I can't remember.
What?
Did she ever marry him?
Yeah.
What was the court case? It was a divorce, wasn't
it? Yeah, I'm sure it was
Where
a divorce,
Where he brought up
her
cocaine habit.
That's right,
And all sorts of very personal information was designed to kind of destroy her. And I really think that a lot of people had sympathy for her then, because she came out of it with great grace.
Absolutely.
I would say.
Anyway,
I like her.
The reason I mention this is because she revealed recently that she spends most of her time sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
She likes sleeping all the time.
Does she?
And whenever she's up and awake, she says, what I'm always doing is planning my next sleep.
Really?
And she sleeps in bursts of 2 hours, and then she might get up and sort of potter around for an hour, and then she goes and has another 2 hours sleep, okay?
I quite like doing that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, really?
I quite like sleeping, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I quite like sleeping. At the moment, I've got really bad headache, because I think I've pulled something in the back of my neck. I'm going to see the chiro.
Really?
Yeah, because my head feels like it weighs 20 stone on my neck, and it's painful
to even
turn my head.
Well, maybe it does weigh 20 stone.
No, it doesn't. I don't even weigh half of 20 stone. Well, a bit more than half. Anyway, the other thing that she said, right, when she was talking recently, is that she's had to stop going to weddings,
right,
because she always bursts... funerals.
Okay.
She's had to stop going to funerals, to friends' funerals, or anybody else's funeral, you know, like, you know, her friends wanted to go to, because in the middle of a funeral, she cannot help but bursting out laughing.
Really?
She laughs all the way through funerals.
Yeah, Scots restaurant, it says here.
Scots.
Well,
Scots of Mayfair, though, isn't it?
I think so.
So it's not Simpson in the Strand. Scots of Mayfair,
Simpson,
yeah.
Because I don't think Simpson in the Strand has got an. There it is there.
Yeah, Simpson
Mayfair,
in the Strand.
Mayfair, central London.
That's
Scots.
That's Scots, yeah. Because you're absolutely right. Simpson in the Strand doesn't have an outdoor.
Well, I don't think it does, unless
it's
around
the Strand. It's right on the Strand, yeah. And it's on the street. It must be on the street, because that's where the photographer took his pictures.
Well, exactly.
So that would be a bit disconcerting, wouldn't it? You know, suddenly you make funeral and you know the curtains just coming across and all the music starting and all that, and all of a sudden a woman behind you starts ha 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 ha.
Well, does she explain why she starts?
She says, I just get fit to the giggles during funerals and
really?
I can't do anything about it. Yeah. Really?
That's quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you and I sometimes find things which most people maybe wouldn't find funny.
Yeah.
We find humour in many things.
Yes.
Which some people might find a bit distasteful.
Yes.
But we try to keep that under wraps. But I don't think I've ever laughed at anybody's funeral.
No, she says, I always feel dreadful because I realise you're not meant to laugh at funerals.
Right.
You know, if someone's there and your heart isn't particularly breaking over them because they're like a colleague, not a member of your family or something like that, she's like, I just can't stop myself laughing. Sometimes I laugh when I look at the vicar and think how funny the vicar is, you know? Yeah. Now, it's funny you should say that because my sister got married late in life, right? It was a tax ruse, really, to make sure that, you know, when death occurs.
It's even less romantic than your bloke from Italy.
Yeah, exactly.
A tax ruse.
Yeah, that's
what do you mean a tax ruse?
Well, because she'd lived with the same guy for 30 years and then decided, you know, get married. Now I think it's all down to death duties and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And if one or the other of them dies, then all the wealth passes to the other if you're married. That's automatic.
Well, you know what's surprising to me in this country is that it's still very much a disadvantage to not be married and living together.
Yes.
You would think that in this day and age it wouldn't make any difference.
No. Is but it still tax-wise not good?
Well, I'm not talking about so much tax-wise, but just in terms of your rights as a spouse
or
as a partner to somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't get married, you have no rights really whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Anyway, at my sister's wedding, right, I went to the rehearsal the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And the
Was it a church wedding then?
Church wedding.
Oh.
Church wedding down in Surrey, Stockbroker Belt. Really, I mean, real Stockbroker Belt village, you know, with a wedding there and marquee for the reception over there, graveyard and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Little porch,
yeah. But when we got to the rehearsal the night before, I could have sworn the vicar was pissed because he smelt of alcohol,
really?
Right? Yeah, definitely, yeah.
What day was this, a Friday?
This was, I don't know,
the
day she got married.
The communion wine,
yeah. I don't know, I can't remember what day she got married now. Probably on a Saturday, so it's probably Friday. Mm. I'm sure he's pissed, you know, and I thought, I'm sure that vicar's pissed.
Mm.
So anyway, what happened on the Saturday was, I know where the reception was. It was at Kingswood Golf Club.
Okay.
Right? Kingswood Golf Club, that's right. There was a marquee for the overflow, you know what I mean? That's right, So so the wedding's all happened and all that. We do all the pictures outside and then all the cars arrive. We go off to Kingswood Golf Club for the reception.
Yeah.
And then after about half an hour, just as everybody's sitting down, there's this terrible commotion. And the fucking vicar had arrived, right, thinking he was invited to the reception.
Oh, really?
But he hadn't been invited to the reception.
Right.
And
are you not supposed to invite the vicar to the reception, though?
Well, I think you invite them for a drink, don't you? You know, at the reception.
You know, I can't remember what happened when my wedding.
But you don't have to get them to sit down at the wedding. Anyway, the vicar had fucking fallen down the stairs coming into the golf club. Seriously, you know.
What, just as he'd arrived?
After he arrived.
Is he piss artist, this guy?
Yeah, and he's thrashing around on the floor, you know. And then when somebody picked him up, get off me, you know. And then he stumbled into the dining room and started saying things like, where's my fucking table?
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure he was even a vicar? He was just dressed up as one.
I don't know, but, you know, it's all
That's a bit embarrassing. Did you have to shovel him out, then?
I had to sort him out. I got some people to sort him out, throw him out, you know, because he was drunk, in my view.
That's
drunk.
Shocking, that.
Yeah, absolutely shocking, yeah.
But, I mean, I suppose, I mean, funnily enough, I was going home one night last week, quite late.
Yeah.
I'd been out for dinner, and I saw this rather well-dressed couple.
Oh, yes.
But they were sort of standing off to the side. I couldn't quite see them from the front.
Right.
And I thought, oh, they've obviously been out, you know, it looks like he's wearing a dinner suit.
Yes.
Turned out he was a vicar.
A vicar,
and it's something quite rare. You don't really see a vicar on a bus.
No. No.
And he had a very nicely dressed wife.
Yeah.
They were probably both in their sort of late 50s.
Yeah.
And they were travelling on the bus in Bermondsey.
Right, okay.
And they got off quite close to where I live.
Right, okay.
But I've never seen him before.
Not a good thing.
It's weird, isn't it?
Not a good thing. Hmm. Now, listen, you know when we do the old Mike Graham Kitchen on TMTV?
Indeed.
Are you aware of the calorie count of the stuff you are cooking?
Do you know, no, I'm completely not aware of it.
Right, and think back to some
calories.
Of the recipes you've done. They're not particularly high in calories, really, are they?
Well, I mean, there's...
You know, a bit of spag and all that.
I mean, what I do is I like to use very fresh ingredients.
Yes.
You know, but I don't, I mean, when I'm at home, I'll usually cook with olive oil.
Right.
And in the microwave kitchen, I usually cook with olive oil, but I'm not averse to using a bit of cream.
Now, the reason I ask is I've become aware of something which is going to explode in the next day or two.
Oh, yeah.
And that is...
What's going to explode?
Well, campaigners are now saying that all these amazing programmes with very high figures for bake-off all that should be banned.
Why?
Because of the enormous amount of calories which are contained in the recipes they cook, because mostly they're cooking cakes.
Well, the cakes in particular,
and cream and all that. Yeah. We have an obesity epidemic in this country.
Yeah.
We have a diabetes problem, which of course I've got, which I'm battling against.
Well, that's okay, because you, you can have diabetes, I can have obesity, and then that way we sort of fill out the general principles.
Obesity can very quickly turn to diabetes,
can
believe
it?
Me.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you've got to watch it.
Is that how you got it?
No, because I'm not obese.
No,
I'm not
obese. How did you get diabetes?
I got diabetes through my love of sugar.
Yeah.
I used to drink like a litre of Dr. Pepper's.
Yeah, but that must have put weight on you as well. Because you lost, I mean, one of the things that happened to you when you got diabetes was you lost a load of weight.
I did, yeah.
You know? Because your body was using, was using, you know, other parts of your body.
That's right.
To eat
To nutrify itself. Yeah, yeah. That's right, to nourish itself. You're absolutely right, But anyway, since I got it under control, I put a bit of weight back on. But I'm now taking it off because I started walking long distances again, which will be very good.
Well, do you know, I've been
I'm having my eyes done very soon at the diabetes eye clinic.
What do you mean, having your eyes done?
Well, you have to get them checked out because you can go blind with diabetes.
Are you going blind?
I don't think I'm going blind. I'm going to check out
how many
the
fingers
clinic.
Am I holding up?
10. Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, I've been told as well. That I should lose a bit of weight. I mean, I think I should, right? Because I put a lot of weight on after I gave up smoking.
That's right,
However, I don't think that I can do it unless I stop drinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So believe it or not, I'm actually considering not giving up drinking, but drinking slightly less than I do.
Okay, right? What does slightly less mean?
Well, what I'm thinking of doing is maybe taking a couple of days a week out of the seven and saying, I'm not going to drink on 2 days of the week.
How boring would that be?
Well, I don't think it'd be that boring.
Pretty boring.
Well, not really. I mean, the trouble is, I've got quite a sociable kind of
outlook.
Come out
of your show, leave the building, go home. Boring. You'd open a bottle at home, you'd open a bottle
of
red.
Well, I mean, that's what I do at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the thing is, I go out, when I was out for a few drinks and dinner the other night, I came home at about 10:30, opened a bottle of wine, and then drank that as well.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of thing I don't need to do. Yeah. Also, say on a Sunday normally, because I'm in Sussex normally, and I drive up to London, I normally don't drink on a Sunday,
right?
But more lately, I've been getting to London and then opening a bottle.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. But what I'm saying is that if I'm going to lose weight at all, in any way, I need to stop taking in so many calories.
Why do you want to lose weight? What's the point?
Because I'm a fat bastard.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're not unattractive to women now anyway because you're too old. So,
no, that's not true.
So what are you worried
about? Actually, that's not true.
And anyway, you're a happy domiciled man, so you don't need to be attractive to women. So
no,
it doesn't
I do
matter.
Always need to be attractive to women. That's the whole point of my existence. But I'm not. My physical attractiveness is not my main selling point to women.
Okay.
Women don't like me because of the way
brain?
I look. Well, I can't possibly tell you that. But the point is that, you know, I'm trying to talk about losing weight and you're making fun of me because you don't think that I should.
No, well, I don't think you
just
can.
Don't want me...
Don't think you can.
Well, and that, well, you see, that's the kind of challenge I
mean,
you're
pseudo-alcoholic anyway,
see,
aren't
that's you? The sort of That's the kind of challenge I need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's a pseudo-alcoholic?
Well, you know, somebody who's verging on alcoholism, you know what I mean?
Alcoholics need to drink, okay?
Yeah.
I don't need to drink.
Oh, no, you just like doing it.
I just like it. I do,
yeah.
I do.
Well, look, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you,
Jimmy.
Would you consider yourself to be a pseudo-alcoholic?
Not at all.
What do you consider yourself to be?
Social
just a
imbiber.
Liar. Well, yeah, no, but you keep telling people you've given up drinking wine, and then the next thing you see is on too much TV.
Yeah.
Is, oh, here's picture of Porky Pear having a glass of wine.
Yeah, but that's only in the microwave kitchen where I'm complimenting
it's
the food.
It's almost every video we do.
That's all it is. I did a little Instagram thing recently, drinking a pint of beer, you know, as a bit of a joke. And I said, oh, doctors have told me, you know, that... got to keep it down. I just sip a beer. And I drink it in one.
Right.
It's very funny. You know, it's a bit
I've seen
laugh.
It. It is
but
funny.
But I have a lot of people. You know, you're not really ill, are you?
If you. Well, I mean, I think it's true to say that I have cast aspersions on your physical state.
Yes.
I don't think you're anywhere near as ill as you make out.
Well, I am ill, but I'm a medical miracle, and I battle against it bravely. Yeah. And I don't complain.
Have
moan.
You seen? Have you seen? That piece of video, which you may have seen, I think one of our production gurus put it on the WhatsApp group.
Oh, yeah.
The guy drinking the whole bottle of Jack Daniels. Did you
see
that?
Oh, God, I wouldn't watch that. I wouldn't encourage that.
I was waiting for the guy to drop dead.
You will drop dead.
I mean,
drop
he
dead.
Puts a straw in it and he opens his gullet.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to drink like that anyway. I mean, when all through my life, you've
I
got
couldn't
to,
drink whiskey like
have
that.
You
I,
ever
could,
tried
I could drink Southern Comfort like that, but not whiskey.
No, you couldn't drink a whole bottle. I mean, it's not good for you. It's a mad idea.
I wouldn't want to drink a whole bottle. I wouldn't encourage anybody to
I
do
mean,
it.
I could drink a bottle of whiskey over the course of an evening and a bottle of whiskey or a bottle of vodka or something, but I couldn't do it all down in one.
I
but do you remember those guys that used to drink the yard of ale?
Yes.
I could never do that either.
No, well, you have to get... because of the bubble at the end, if you don't balance the yard correctly, you get your whole face washed in beer.
No,
it comes flooding down.
I couldn't
down
do
like,
it. And the other thing...
Like
people,
a
have you ever done this
beer.
Thing... that people used to do this in America,
where
they would do something like... they would. I don't know how they did it, but there was a way of drilling a hole in the base of a can of beer,
right?
And then you hold the can of beer above your face like that, and then if it's got a ring pull can, you pull the ring, and it creates a sort of
a vacuum.
Well, the vacuum's already there, so the beer doesn't come out of the hole until you open it,
right?
And then it all just shoots straight down your gullet.
Really?
And people used to drink beer that way.
Really?
In sort of competitions, yeah.
Never seen that.
But I could never do that either. I think I've got a sort of constricted throat.
I had a friend at work called Colin Gibson. I remember his name very well.
Who? I remember Colin Gibson.
No, you can't remember this Colin Gibson. He was a Chester boy, and I've never heard of him for a long time.
Well, I knew somebody called Colin Gibson.
Colin Gibson ended up, didn't he, as the press officer for the FA and then for English cricket.
Yes.
Yes,
that's the Colin Gibson I know.
That's
the
Colin Gibson.
Is this a different one?
Same, a different guy.
Okay.
And actually, funny enough, what I was going to say is this Colin Gibson had the ability to pick up a pint of beer and slosh it down his throat in 3 seconds.
Right.
And he had some gullet situation where his throat just opened like a penguin following a fish.
And
following a fish.
I can't do that.
Yeah,
never been able to.
I tell you what was really interesting about him as well. His father worked in the oil industry.
Right. You're talking about the Colin Gibson you know?
Yeah, Colin Gibson I know. Worked in the oil industry in Aberdeen.
Uh-huh.
And so in the holidays, when we all went off to get holiday jobs, I worked in a petrol station. One of my mates worked...
bootlegging red diesel.
Bootlegging red diesel, that was me. But one of my other mates worked in a, like, shop the steel works and brushing up and all that kind of stuff. You know, terribly, terribly inefficient industries in our day. They're all nationalised.
Yeah.
And if Corbyn
Can you believe
gets his
that
way,
oh, Corbyn wants to...
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, the country was go bankrupt overnight, you know. I mean, how we didn't go bankrupt then, I've no idea.
But well, we nearly did, I think.
Yeah, we nearly did, yeah. If it hadn't been for Mrs. Thatcher coming along and deciding to do something, we would now be Greece, you know, it's as simple as that, because of the nationalisation programme. But anyway, this guy, because his father worked in industry, he went off and worked on the... oil rigs, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think he worked on the oil rigs. He worked at Aberdeen at the oil terminal,
It was one of those jobs that you kind of wanted to do when you were a teenager,
yeah,
wasn't
that's
it?
Right,
because it sounded great.
It sounded great,
and it was very well paid.
Oh, it was huge. This is a point I'm going to make.
Mm.
So he would go off, and it was 10 days on, 10 days off, right? So he'd go off, and he'd work on... I think they were like the supply companies to the oil rigs.
Sullivan Vaux, something like that,
you know. And then he'd... So he'd fly up there...
Yeah.
From Liverpool Airport, you know, and then he'd get on a helicopter and they'd take him somewhere else.
Right.
And he'd come back. After 10 days' work, he'd come back with about £2,000.
Yeah.
And they were paid in cash, huge amounts of money.
Right.
Huge amounts of money. So he'd come in the pub just suddenly one night, you know, after being away for 10 days.
The big wedge.
The huge wedge.
Yeah.
And all the parasites, who were like his, quotes, friends, would say, oh, and he'd buy all the drinks for everybody in the bar.
Right.
And then at 10:30 or 11 o'clock when the pub shut, said, come on, let's all go to the Chinese. Mm. You know, we haven't eaten, have we? He'd then take about 12 people off to the Chinese, right?
Right.
And he'd, you
know, that was probably about 50 quid in those days, right?
I've no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Push all the tables together and order every dish.
Yeah.
What do you want? You want wine and all that. And every one of these parasitical bums around us would just say, oh, thanks, Carl, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, have more, have more. And then he'd bring out a tin, because he carried it around in a tin, all the dosh. You used to get paid in cash. And he'd say, right, how much is it, mate? And he'd absolutely right, probably about £100 or something, you know, or £150, I think. He'd say, £150, chicken feed. Here, have £250.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just madness, you know, complete utter madness. But
and
anyway,
how long did he do that for?
Oh, like for 10 days he was home.
No, but I mean, surely he must have spent all his money then.
Well, yeah, I mean, he just, you know, he just had... He
what
just
a dickhead.
Spent
I mean,
it all. Yeah.
Why didn't he keep some of it?
I've no idea. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't particularly... I don't think he was particularly... I mean, if I ever went, and once or twice I did, I said, I'm paying my for myself, OK?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say to the waiter, I said, you only charge for 9 meals here, mate. I'm paying mine on my own, you know? Because I wouldn't get into all this.
No,
but they are, all these bums are, you know, flitting around
well,
him.
I mean, if there are some people, I'm afraid, in the world, and you'll know who they are, if they think there's something free going, they want a piece of it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And just finally, by the way,
go on.
I just wanted to say, new iPhones are giving superior definition to selfie pictures, even better than ordinary pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you saying the two mics should get a new iPhone?
No, I'm saying that I don't do selfies.
Really?
Now, you do selfies.
I do selfies.
Your selfies all the time.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's a bit sort of, you know, I will appoint my horse as a senator type... what's that called? You know,
what's...
when people love themselves. They look in, they look in a puddle and say, you're beautiful. What's that called?
Yeah, it's narcissism.
Narcissism,
isn't it?
Yeah. Don't you think it's a bit narcissistic? They take selfies.
No,
hey.
I don't. Well, I don't really take that many selfies.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the pictures I take don't have me in them, right?
But oh, they do.
No, they don't.
Oh, they do.
Some of the pictures I take have me in them, but by and large, most of the pictures I take have me in them. Most of the pictures I post, if you look on my Twitter feed, almost every, I would say, maybe one out of ten has got me in it. Nine out of ten haven't.
Did you see Mr. Brazil's selfie recently from Paris?
I saw that.
That caused a lot of interest.
A lot of people were wondering if it was a real picture or if, in fact, it had been altered, you know, sort of to make it look worse than it was visually.
Worse? What's worse?
Well, in terms of the size of his head.
I thought that looked great. He had sunglasses on. He was a good tanned selfie. Backdrop of Paris behind him. It was when he was out doing the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
Some people were critical of the size of his head. Mm. They seemed to think it had got bigger.
The heed.
The heed
has got bigger, Alan.
But, I mean, you know Al better than I do.
Yeah.
I don't think he's any bigger than he ever was.
No, I don't think he's any bigger.
I think it's the same size.
And he was out there with Ali McCoist anyway.
Yes.
So I was given an invitation to go over and join in.
Yes.
But, of course, I'm a responsible individual.
So you didn't go?
No, he wouldn't get me into that sort of thing, pal. No way, at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we're the two mics.
We are.
And this is on the record.
It certainly is.
We'll have more for you soon.
That's right, with Audio Boom. I once went to America with a female colleague.
Did you?
Yes.
What was her name?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
But
would I know her?
Hey?
Do I know her?
You will probably know her.
Okay.
Well, we stayed in Essex House Hotel.
Did you?
And I thought it would be a fitting end for me to be found dead in the morning of a heart attack whilst romancing this lady, you know, in the Essex House Hotel.
But it would be a pretty horrible way for her to have to remember you.
Well, it would, yeah. But, I mean, at least I would be a problem out of her life. You know what I mean?
Are you saying that you didn't actually get your leg over? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, no, I did.
You did?
Yeah, it was the whole idea.
Well, why did you want to die then?
Well, I didn't want to die, but I thought, you know when you're...
You mean it'd be good for your reputation?
Yeah, you read Fleet Street obituaries about the extraordinary things that we used to get up to. That might have been a fitting end, but I was only in my 40s at the time, so I didn't want to die, you know.
No, right.
The vicar had fucking fallen down the stairs coming into the golf club. Seriously, you know.
What, just as he'd arrived?
As he arrived.
Was he pissed off, this guy?
Yeah. And he's thrashing around on the floor, you know. And they went, somebody picked up, get off me, you know. And then he stumbled into the dining room and started saying things like, where's my fucking table?
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure he was even a vicar? He was just dressed up as one.
I don't know. But, you know, it's all
a bit of... That's a bit embarrassing. Did you have to shovel him out then?
I had to sort him out. I got some people to sort him out, throw him out, you know, because he was drunk, in my view.
That's
drunk.
Shocking, that.
Yeah, absolutely shocking, yeah. What's the point?
Because I'm a fat bastard.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're not unattractive to women now anyway because you're too old. So,
no, that's not true.
So what are you worried
about? Actually, that's not true.